Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good morning, those of us watching online. My name is Caleb. I serve as the high school director. I am so excited about this morning. We've been through two services. This is the last one. A lot of you guys were here Tuesday, and you're getting your double dose of church, which means like now we can see who the real Christians are up in this place. For real, though, and this is a big crowd. I'm excited. A lot of you this last Tuesday heard Tyler's message and maybe responded to the gospel for the first time. Maybe you rededicated your life back to following Jesus. We are going to look today at kind of a next step into following Jesus, a next step into following Jesus. And even if you have been a Christian for a long time, I still believe that this message will be challenging for us, for you. And we're gonna spend most of the time, all of our time actually, talking about spending time with Him, spending time with God. And this is what the psalmist writes in Psalm 91. He says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." This word dwells in the original language in Hebrew, it means abide. And it's a deep meaning, it has very deep roots in the meaning. And a different translation would say something like lives in or marinates in or rests in, spends time in. And then the secret place here, this is just another term for something that a lot of us probably already know about. We would call it maybe like a devotional time, a Jesus and me time, a quiet time, getting still. Whatever you want to call it, we're going to stick with the phrase secret place. And this is actually what Jesus says about the secret place in Matthew 6. He says this, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Then your Father who sees in secret will reward you." What Jesus is saying, he's giving a pretty exaggerated point, a metaphor about when you spend time with Him, it needs to be alone with Him. He's not necessarily saying you have to go behind a door, you have to shut yourself off into a dark room. He's just saying, when you're with me, it's just me and you. It's just me and you. Growing up, I lived in the Central Valley, and we had this very large backyard, and attached to our fence was a fence, obviously. And then behind the fence was like a big open field. And in that open field, butting up against our fence, were these three huge pine trees. And my dad, who's like the most fun dad ever, he created this like little fort for me and my brothers back there. And he like put a little hinge on the fence so we could like open it up and kind of go in there. And what's really interesting is I would go in there a lot, whether I was having like a temper tantrum or I just wanted to like hang out in my fortress with my friends. But what my dad was showing me without him even realizing, I don't think, is he was creating a habit for me. He was creating a place for me that I could go to be alone, that I could go and spend time. And when I was younger, I wasn't entering into that place because I wanted to spend time with God. I think I was too young to understand that concept. But now that I'm older, I remember that I used to do that. I used to have a place. And so I made a new place. I made a new secret place for me to enter into a time where I can have a conversation with the Lord and hear what He has to say and pray to Him. And this is my spot. This is it. It's my living room. Every morning I'm there. I'm there as often as I can be. I'm praying. There's a Bible under here. It's hidden, I swear. There's a Bible there, though. And I spend time there as much as possible. And I have a friend of mine who actually, he travels a ton for work. Like 4 to 5 days a week, he's traveling all over the world. And he knows that there is a cafe that there are over 20,000 locations. And so his secret place is this. Starbucks. He spends every morning Starbucks. He's always traveling, but as often as he can get into a Starbucks, the vibe is the same, the smells are the same, the aesthetic is the same. It's a reminder for him when he enters into it. He's like, oh, this is my secret place. And yeah, it's loud in there, but it's still one-on-one, him and God, a secret place for him. I have another friend of mine who loves to take walks. He walks, he takes hikes, he spends all his time in the morning spending his time with the Lord, and this is his secret place, a bench. A bench, and he spends his time there with the Lord, reading and praying and spending time with God. Every single person should have a secret place, should have a place that they go and they spend their time with the Lord. Every single person should have a secret place. Let me ask you a question. Do you spend time with Jesus in the secret place? Do you spend time with Jesus in the secret place? I want you to think of somebody who, when you're around them, they kind of just like radiate the presence of God. I have mentors in my life, like Bill and Kathy and Tyler, who when I'm around them, it's kind of just like, they just radiate this gentleness and this peace and it's just amazing. Like you see them and you're just like, what is different about them? And I'm willing to bet if you have somebody in your mind like me, they spend time in the secret place. They dwell, they live in the secret place. Their life reflects time spent in the secret place. And so our big idea for today is this: your life should reflect time spent in the secret place. This message is going to be split up into two different ways. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at Jesus's life and Jesus's time spent in the secret place. And then the second part is we're going to look at three benefits, which is, it's not an exhaustible list because there are many benefits. But we're going to get three specific benefits to spending time in the secret place. Will you guys pray with me before we get started? God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for all of these people. Lord, I pray that you speak through me, God, that I am your vessel, Lord. Let the words that they hear not be my words, but your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that before Jesus chose the 12 disciples, it says in Scripture that he left, he separated himself, he went to a secret place. Overnight, all night long, he prayed. And when he came back down the mountain, he looked at the 12 and he said, these are going to be my people that are going to share this word with everybody. He prayed overnight. He spent overnight in the secret place. Before Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, he spent time in the secret place. It says he was separated from his disciples and the people. And then when he came back, he was spending time in prayer. When he came back, the disciples asked him, can you teach us how to pray? Even before he died in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was walking with his three best friends, James, Peter, and John. And he's walking with them, and he says, you guys are going to pray here, and I'm going to go pray over here by myself. And honestly, this is probably my favorite time where Jesus enters into that place, because we actually get like an insight into what he's saying. When he says, take this cup of suffering, Lord, but not my will, but your will be done. It's like we get an insight into Jesus's prayer life, and it's honestly beautiful and amazing. But there's one story that I believe relates to us the most. Relates to us, this church, our people, the most. And it's the story in Luke 5. So a man walks up to Jesus and he has leprosy. And he says, Jesus, can you heal me? And Jesus says, I'm willing. And then heals him. And then what's interesting is Jesus looks at the guy and looks at the man and says this, which is, it's really interesting. He says, this is what you're going to do. You're not going to tell anybody that I healed you. Instead, what you're going to do is you're going to go to the priest, to the temple, and you're going to have the priest examine you, and then he will consider you clean. And then what you're going to do is you're going to make the appropriate sacrifice for a man who has been cured of leprosy that is written in the Mosaic Law, or the Old Testament Law. It's like, you're going to make the appropriate sacrifice, and that is going to be your public testimony, not that I did it. And Jesus, and then the guy's like, sure. And then he walks away. He's like, hey, everyone, Jesus healed me. And then we pick up the story in Luke 5. It says this. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him and to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. This is the best part. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Jesus often withdrew to the secret place for prayer. Often. Why? Why would he do that? He's God. Jesus wanted to get rest, to be renewed, to be re-energized. He wanted his life, his earthly ministry, to reflect the time spent with his heavenly Father. The psalmist writes in Psalm 91, he says this, he who dwells, Jesus lived in the secret place of the Most High. They will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Jesus models a life that we should live. He models a life we need to live. And what's interesting about this story is Jesus' fame, his popularity, his growth in power is similar, and it relates to us in this way. We're busy. We're very busy. When people come up to me, and I'm sure it's similar for a lot of us in here, they go, hey, how you doing? I'm busy. I'm very, very busy. It's like, we're so busy. And I was thinking about this question about myself, and I want to ask you the same one. Are you too busy for God? Are we too busy for God? Work at the end of the year is stressful. You're closing out all these deals, and then you got to deal with the family dynamic, the family drama, and you're in school, or you're in school and you have the finals. You're sending in all your college apps, and don't even get me started on the kids drama. Holy moly, it's like it's never ending. And then I'm at the 9 a.m. service, and I'm seriously sitting on my phone over here, right? And I look at my phone, and I get like a screen time alert, and it's like, you spent 3 hours every single day on your phone. And this is what's crazy. That is a pretty low number for like the average person. It's like 7 to 9 hours a day on their phone. That's how long we spend on our phone. So maybe we're not that busy. Maybe we're just distracting ourselves, honestly. But Jesus' life reflects time spent in the secret place. He wanted to separate. He would often withdraw to spend time with God because he wanted to be renewed and refreshed. His life reflects time spent in the secret place. Your life should reflect time spent in the secret place. We're going to look at the three benefits of spending time in the secret place. And let me share them with you first. The first one is this. You receive more of him. The second one is you experience more of his love. And then the last one is you become more like him. We're gonna plant for the rest of our time in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. But before I share what Paul does, I want to actually preface the beginning of the book because it adds to the weightiness of this prayer that he has. So Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and in the beginning of the book, he shares this really powerful gospel presentation. Scholars say that it's the most powerful sentence in the Bible. It's one sentence in the Greek, and it's very long, but it is very powerful. And then in the next chapter, and then a little bit into chapter 3, he starts to share that there's a oneness in Christ. There's a oneness in Jesus. The Jews and the Gentiles, who are different, they're different people groups, are now one in Christ. And then he says this thing in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, because of what Christ has done, we can now enter boldly and confidently into God's presence. We can now enter into the secret place because of what Christ has done for us. And then Paul shares a prayer that he has for the church of Ephesus. And actually, it's a prayer for us, too. It's a prayer for the Big C church, the global church. And it's actually an intercessant prayer. And what that means really, really simply is it's a prayer on our behalf to God. So Paul is praying to God on behalf of the church. And this is the prayer. He says this: "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness and life and power that comes from God." The first benefit of spending time in the secret place is you receive more of him. The passage that we're looking at, it says this in Ephesians 3:16. It says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him." Every person has a God-shaped hole in their heart. And because of sin, because of the weight and the cost of sin, it's infected. It's infected. And Jesus wants to come into your heart and fill the void or the hole or make residency, create a home in your heart where there's just junk from the world. I have a friend of mine who, when he was 15 years old, he got diagnosed with an early stage of schizophrenia. He had severe depression, severe anxiety, and was verging on a personality disorder. 15 years old. And he would tell me that life was like a game. And he was looking at life in like a bird's eye view. He was watching himself interact with the world. and he would tell me that when he would interact with people, he was actually just shutting his emotions out. He thought emotions made you weak. He was like, "No, I don't want any of that." And he dug himself into this really, really deep hole. And then he actually attempted to end his own life around the time he was 16 years old. And after he failed to end his own life, he only dove deeper into the hole. Deeper. And his parents did the best thing for him. They sent him away. They sent him away to a therapy boarding school where he would have to enter into 14 hours a week of therapy. Every type of counseling or therapy that you can think of, he did it. Group, family, personal, music, any therapy. 14 hours a week. And the thing with therapy is it only works if you want it. And he would tell me, "I don't want it. I don't want it." And then slowly, slowly, Jesus started to initiate a relationship with him, a conversation with him. He started making residency in his heart. And he felt, and my friend felt the urge to actually start watching our services online. He's a part of this community. He started watching our services online. And he said he felt like he actually wanted to change. He said, "I want to change." And it's because of the time spent in the secret place hearing the word of the Lord and praying and spending time with him, he started to experience the change that can come from counseling and from God. And by God's grace, the most amazing thing happened. He was healed. Healed. Amen. And he comes back and he leaves at seven months. And usually people would leave at 13 months. So he leaves early. And I sit him down with coffee and I'm like, what do you think of it all? All you've been through. And he said, everybody has holes, voids, cracks, and we fill them up with social media, addictions, alcohol, power, greed. And he said, I just want people to experience the Holy Spirit. I want him to fill the void. Even the healthiest person has a God-shaped hole, a void. What void in your life do you need Jesus to fill? The more time you spend in the secret place, the more time you spend with him, the more transformation, healing, restoration that you receive. The more time spent, the more you receive of him. The next part of our passage says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. When you spend time with him, you're strengthened. You're stronger because of him. Timothy Keller says this. He says, religious people obey God to get more things. Gospel people, Jesus people, us, we obey God just simply to get more God. I want more God. I want to receive more of him. That's the first benefit of spending time in the secret place. You receive more of him. And the second benefit is you experience more of his love. You experience more of his love. I think it's interesting that you can know a lot about somebody, and that's really different, obviously, than knowing someone really deeply and intimately, right? Like I have friends who use dating apps a lot, and some are like pretty successful, and you know they're good and it's great, and some are just like wild failures. It's terrible. They use all of them, like Tinder, Christian Mingle, Farmers Only, everything you can think of. They've used it. Not me. No, they've used it, and. Whoops. And what's interesting is you look at the profile of the person and you learn a lot about them, but you don't call the chapel and say, we're getting married. I learned everything I need to know about that person. No, there's the middle part where you hang out and you get to know each other and you learn more about each other. And that's the same thing with God. People know a lot about God. I know God. Yeah. That guy, he loves me. Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. I spend time sometimes. I talk to him every once in a while. Or the other side of it is like, no, that guy's against me. God's against me. But if they spent time with him, if we spent time with him, we would receive his love, more of his love. The second part of our passage says this. It says, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. The best part of this passage is this part right here. Though it is too great to understand fully. Paul writes in a different letter to a different church, the Church of Rome, in Romans 8. He writes this about God's love. He says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. neither death nor life, angels nor demons, fears for today, worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. But it's too great to understand. This isn't it. There's more. There is more love than that. Can you believe that? Do you want to experience that? I want to experience God's love for myself. I don't want people to tell me about it. And the best way to experience God's love, the best way, is to spend time with Him in the secret place. That's the second benefit. You experience more of His love. And the third benefit, and this is the best one, you become more like Him. You become more like Him. Me and my roommate are very, very good friends. We're probably like, it's like we're best friends, and we also live together. So over time, as you know, with people, they kind of just like form to be like the same person, right? Like we started wearing like the same clothes, same jokes. We got the same friends. Like seriously, we both had a mustache for a while, which is like we didn't plan it, and then we both shaved it. It's like so weird. We're just like the same person. And the same is true, what's really funny, the same is true, like, about owners and their pets, right? Like, check this out. Look at this. They even look like each other. This is outrageous. Go to the next one. Look at that hair. Man, I'm trying to grow my hair out like that. Putin needs a mole right there, and we got a perfect twin. That's amazing. Here's the difference. I'm not saying that you and Jesus, me and Jesus, we become like each other. No. Jesus doesn't change. We change. We change. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We change. We become like Him. Where do you need to be more like Jesus in your life? I can think in my own life like 100 different ways. Maybe it's you need to serve better. You need to serve your spouse, your significant other, your friends better. Maybe it's you speak death. You gossip, and you're feeling like Jesus loves these people. I should be speaking life over these people. Maybe you need to be more generous with time, resources, skill set, being more generous. Or maybe even this season is very joyful and happy, but some of us don't have peace. We don't have shalom, wholeness, like Ryan was talking about last weekend. And we need peace. We need to be more like the Prince of Peace. Where do you need to be more like Jesus in your life? The last part of our passage says this, then you will be made complete, like Him. And all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The life that Paul is talking about here is the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. I've come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then this power, Paul talks about it earlier in the letter to the church of Ephesus. He says, the same power, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, us. Will be made like Him. The three benefits, this is an inexhaustive list. The three benefits that we're talking about are this. You receive more of Him, You experience more of his love and you become more like him. Then your life should reflect time spent in the secret place. Here's the challenge. New year, new you. A lot of us here maybe have never done this. Like, we're new to following Jesus. And maybe the first step is actually once a week. I want to encourage you. Once a week, spend time in the Word. Spend time with him. Spend time in that secret place with him. Praying, listening, reading. Maybe you do it every once in a while. Every once in a season, a blue moon, you're like, all right, I should spend time with God. Make it consistent. Every single day, pick a spot, find a location. Doesn't matter where it is, as long as your heart is it's between you and him. And maybe you're here and you're like, I do that. I do that already. But maybe you need to be pushed a little bit more, challenged a little harder. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. That sounds difficult. What he's saying is, he's not saying like, just don't talk to anybody ever again. He's saying, when you are in a conversation with God, it should never stop. There's a pastor that I listen to and I look up to who says, talking to God should be like texting your best friend. You just text them all the time, all day long. You're in a conversation with him. And that's how our lives should be. That's the goal. There's a French monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. And he lived in like the 1600s. And there's a book about his life because he was one of those people. He was one of those people that when people saw him, he radiated the presence of God. It was flowing out of him. And so they have the book is like a composition of letters and then spiritual practices of his own life. And this is one of them, what he says in the book. He says, make it your study. Before taking up any task to look to God, be it only for a moment, as also when you are engaged thereon, and lastly, when you perform the same. He's saying, pray to God before, during, and after everything. And then he says, and forasmuch as without time and great patience, this practice cannot be attained, be not disheartened at your many falls. Truly, this habit can only be formed with difficulty. Yet when it is so formed, how great will be your joy therein. He's saying, this is challenging. This is hard to do. But when you do it, when you get good at spending time with him as often as you can, praying without ceasing, how great will be your joy. Your life will reflect time spent in the secret place. Our lives should reflect time spent in the secret place. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you so much for today. We love you, Lord, and we want to experience you. Jesus, give us the strength, give us the encouragement, convict our hearts to lean in, to press in, to experience more of you, Jesus. That is what we want. That is what Paul prayed for us, and we want it, Lord. We want to experience you. We pray this in your name. Amen.